We'll begin in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and then we'll ask the Lord to help us with the message tonight. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in your word. Lord, thank you for the privilege and honor, Lord, to preach it. Father, we pray that we would be able to see exactly what you're saying to us through your word, Lord, and understand our hearts, Father, and we pray that you reveal to us our hearts, Father, and the wonderful gift of a new heart that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you haven't guessed already, we're going to look at the heart this evening and compare some scriptures which examine the heart, what it is, and how it affects our lives. The Lord describes the heart as the source of all of our words, our speech. Well, we can read of this in Luke 6:45. No need to turn there if you don't have time, but I'll read it out to you. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. It's also the source of our actions. Mark 7:21-23, also describing this. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So it is the mind we are reading of when we see the term the heart in Scripture. It is the innermost residence of the soul, where our thought life plays out. It is a secret place, a place known only to ourselves and to God. And I'll read to you a scripture from 1 Kings where we can see that God only has this power of mind reading. It comes under the purview of his omniscience. So the scripture is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, this is speaking to the Lord, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men.
Amen.
So, God only. You'll note too, in the gospel accounts, Jesus possesses this same knowledge, the secret thoughts of men. And after the scripture we just read, it should be obvious, if you can put two and two together, that this is just another biblical proof of Christ's divinity, that only God possesses this power, and Jesus possesses this power himself. Now, the heart is where the real you dwells, as known only to you and God. As I said, you can hide it from others, but the Lord sees everything. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ stressed the importance of a right heart, a communion with God that was deep within, that was sincere. Secret prayer, secret giving, and so on should reflect this sincerity of heart. That what you're prepared to do in secret is good. Avoiding a vain show of religion to impress men was something else the Lord made note on. That we need to remember that they can't see anything that's within anyway. They can't truly assess the sincerity of your actions. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And this should also be the way we approach prayer, verses 5 and 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Praying in secret means you will only be looking to God. You'll be speaking honestly with him. A man would never confess the secret shame of his heart if he knew others were listening. After all, being alone with God is crucial to being able to speak your mind with him. This is why I find leading in a salvation prayer objectionable. There is always the great risk that people will just want to please other people, and they'll be coerced into saying something out loud that they don't really mean, that just pleases the evangelist, and something that is really a false confession. And the evangelist, who wants to feel they've done their job properly, will affirm that confession, and now you've got two people deceived about that person's salvation. Now, corporate prayer, of course, is something different. The Bible has got that. God tells us that agreement in prayer works powerfully towards seeing it answered, and creating unity in the church is accomplished through corporate prayer. It's one of the ways we share each other's burdens. But there are things that we need to be praying about during our own personal prayer time alone with God. I want to look at a few scriptures about bedtime now. I say that because if we're on the topic of the secret heart, then the Word of God has a few examples of how the bed is a place where our hearts are often manifest. In one of Huey's previous messages, he made the observation that sleep is something we take for granted as a potentially dangerous activity. It's something that we do every day that leaves us so vulnerable. And usually we do it in total darkness, that we're unconscious for hours on end. Now, it's no wonder that we also make our bedrooms then seem as safe and secure as possible. And we want peace as well. We make them quiet and dim to avoid distractions. So it is during this time, as we prepare for sleep, that we are most sensitive to the thoughts of our heart. It is an opportunity to know what is on our minds. Immediately before and straight after sleep is when I personally do most of my praying. Now, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 4, verses 3 to 4, we'll see an example of this. Psalm 4, 3 to 4. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Now, the Lord wants us to commune with our own hearts at bedtime, as we just read in the scripture. If you compare that with Jeremiah 17, 9, this is a scripture we've probably encountered a few times before. We should be familiar with it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you think that communing with your heart is exposing ourselves to a cunning and false influence, then you'd be right, if you neglect the next verses in Jeremiah 9 to 10. So this is verse 9, the one we just read. With the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see that the Lord is the only one that truly understands our hearts. He alone is able to see through the deceitfulness of our hearts and try the reins, that is, take control. Only God can reveal to us the real nature of our hearts, so that we can avoid being ensnared by them. Before I was saved, bedtime was often a time when my conscience would torment me, or my fears would come upon me as I laid down to sleep. But praise the Lord, my God, my Redeemer, I sleep pretty well these days because I can cast all my cares upon him. But for the wicked, the Lord says in His Word that they are plagued by the imaginations of their heart at night. Their heart has an agenda that won't let them alone. We'll see this in Proverbs 4:16. This is speaking of the wicked. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Let us be thankful that God has given us a new heart, one that can obey God and is not a trouble to us. Let's close in Psalm 4 again, verse 8. Yep. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's pray. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for revealing to us our hearts through Your Word. Thank You, Father, that we can know ourselves by what You say, Lord, that Jesus Christ shows us who we are in our sin, Father, and that we need Him to save us, Lord. We thank You that for the promise of a new heart that You give us, Father, that helps us to live in peace. And Father, we pray that You bless everyone, protect us, Lord, as we go out into the world, and keep us by Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray.